Isn't that a great thought, that line in that song right there? It says, now the law is our friend. It demands our release. You know, that's good news. All right, let's take our Bibles and turn with me to 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. I'd like to look at the first couple of verses in this blessed book. 1 John chapter 2, the Apostle John begins this tender address with these words, my little children, my little children. Now he's talking to the Lord's people, called of God. He's an elder. He learned the gospel from the Lord himself. John was an apostle. And the Lord Jesus taught him and commissioned him to teach those, go into all the world, preach the gospel, every man, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So he starts off and he says, my little children, you called out of darkness, these things write unto you that you sin not. These things I write unto you that you sin not. Now, it was not that John thought that they could be without sin. I mean, look at verse 8 and verse 10 of chapter 1. If we say we have no sin, that word right there, if we say we don't have a sin nature, if we say that we're not by nature sin, we deceive ourselves and the fruit of truth is not in us. And then he said, if we say that we don't manifest what we are by nature. In verse 10, if we say that we've not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So it was not that the Apostle John thought that God's people were not capable of sinning. Well, what he's exhorting them to do is this. Here's what he's saying. My little children, don't sin. Don't sin. Now, let me ask you something. Is there anything wrong with encouraging or urging a regenerated sinner, one redeemed by the blood of Christ, is there anything that is wrong with encouraging them to resist the temptation to sin? Nope. That's what John the Apostle just did. These things write unto you that don't sin. We're saying. Wonderfully, the Spirit of God moved upon this apostle to warn the people of God against the temptation of the flesh. And here's the reason for this temptation being warned against. Because we have an old man in us, and this old man is going to say this. And I actually had someone tell me this very statement. This is where I got it. Someone I knew long ago told me this. Well, since I'm a sinner, saved by grace, and I cannot but sin, then I can't help it. And he had that attitude. I can't help what I do anyway, so what difference does it make? An attitude of complacency. An attitude of laxness. An attitude of indifference towards sin, again, evidences a problem. My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. But the believer realizes the heinous presence of sin, and therefore is thankful that the Spirit of God would move upon the Apostle John to tell him, I need to be told, Marvin, don't sin. Don't do it. But knowing that the desire is there, number one, to sin by that old man, and there's a new man that does nothing but sin. And as I've said so many times, I know that so. The Spirit of God has revealed it. That which is born of God sinneth not. There is a nature in a believer that does not sin. But I'll be honest with you. I can't see it. And I know it's so. I believe it. Paul voiced what I just said this way. Romans 7:21-23. I find then a law that when I would do good, and I do want to, I want to be obedient. I want to be obedient. I want to walk in obedience before God. I want to hear what He has to say when He says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. I want to do that. Don't you? Don't you want to do that? My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. I want to do that. I don't want to be found inconsistent. I don't. Paul said, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members. There's an old man there, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. What did he say right there? He said, I cannot not sin. I cannot keep myself. I cannot keep myself from wandering in my mind. I can't keep myself from being indifferent. I find it and I grieve over it. Knowing that we cannot keep ourselves from sinning. And we hate it. I need a word of comfort from the Lord. And here it is. And if any man sin. I looked that word up, if, right there. Here's the word, though. And though any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Now, to every object of God's mercy that sits here today, every vessel of God's compassion has been called out of spiritual darkness. Those who are aware of their need of forgiveness, here's what the Scriptures has to say. We have right now one who pleads for us. We have an advocate. Romans 8:34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. I don't want to sin. But I know that there's an old man in me that does nothing but sin. And my new man resists him and grieves over it. And I need some comfort. I need one to speak to the Father for me. What do we have? Here's what we have. We have an advocate with the Father. Now let me tell you the significance of that. It's before God Almighty that we've sinned. But though we sin by the grace of God, our sin that we hate cannot destroy our fellowship with the Father in Christ. Being found in Christ, a believer, a struggling, sinning believer, our fellowship with the Father cannot be broken. Why? Because we have an advocate. Now, our advocate does not deny the charge that we're sinners. Doesn't deny the charge that we're guilty in ourselves. Does not make our sin to be less serious than it is. Why? He shed His blood. He shed His blood to purge our sins. He admits, as the advocate, that every accusation that is brought against us by God's perfect law and the strict demand of justice is real. But with every charge, He pleads His own undertaking on the behalf of His people, His work, His life, His death, His blood, His righteousness. Here's what Psalm 40 verse 12 says. He bore them in His own body. All of these sins that we commit, that we're committing, and we will commit, lest the Lord takes us home. Almighty God, the mediator, the substitute Himself, He made sin, made the guiltiness. He bore them in His own body. And every sin that we commit right now, Don, Christ said, I paid for that. I paid for that. I answered for that against the law. Here our advocate says, my people have sinned, and I, as their representative, the one made what they are, answered every demand for justice. Satan, the accuser of the brethren, accuses us, and Christ says, my blood has atoned. I put it away. I paid the debt. Are we guilty? Yes. Do we deserve the curse of the law? Yes. But He, the righteous one, marvelously, mysteriously, I cannot tell you how this is, but to declare it, He was made Marvin. He was made sin. And under the judgment of Almighty God, bore the punishment due me and every one of His elect, and put it away. And now, as the advocate, He pleads His own merit on our behalf, that our sin be not imputed to us, totally based on His merit, His blood, His death, His work. He said, it's finished. Oh, the glorious provision made for God's people. Sinners, to whom God Almighty has chosen to be merciful and compassionate, giving them a mediator to reconcile them back to Himself, and having Christ to continually, ever liveth, to make intercession, applying the death on our behalf before God, that we might be delivered from the penalty. I was somewhere the other day. I saw this little old pamphlet. And here's what it said. The simple plan of salvation. I thought, what it took to redeem and save a sinner? The simple plan of salvation? No. What did it call? What was the high cost of what we call free grace? It cost the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the advocate that every sinner, regenerated by the grace of God, needs. Who is he? John says we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus, that is the one who will save his people from his sins. Call his name Jesus. He's going to save his people from his sins. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one, the one of the Father's appointment, the elected priest. The Father chose him. The Father sent him. The Father first trusted in him and sent him into this world to save his people. He was given Jesus Christ, the righteous. Oh, now there's the advocate that the Father. I could try to pray for you people. Say, pray for me. I'll try. But here's the only problem. For me to approach God on my merit, I've got to be righteous. I've got to be holy in myself. We have an advocate. Who is he? He's Jesus Christ, the Holy One. Here's the merit. His merit to approach God on our behalf. He answers the charge of our unrighteousness because he is righteous. And he says, I bore their sin. I paid their debt. And now they owe nothing. We have an advocate with the Father. And verse 2 says, and he is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. He said he is the propitiation. What does propitiate mean? What does that mean? It means to restore the friendship which existed before a quarrel took place. That's what it means. To propitiate, to make friends again. He is the propitiation. You see, when Adam sinned against God, so did I, and so did you. And the reason is because you were in the loins of Adam. Everything, everybody that would ever come out of Adam, and we all did. Everybody sinned in Adam. So, sin that we've all done, it just took a little time is all it did for us to be born. And it manifested itself. It, you know, you take a baby and they're born and they're so sweet and, you know, cuddly and everything. And that just, you know, they can do no wrong. But just give it a little time. You know, it won't take long. They'll start showing themselves. Sin separated man from God. Now, your sins have separated between you and your God. And the only way for that breach to be eliminated was for one to make peace. Now, somebody's going to have to make peace. This the Lord Jesus Christ did because we never could. You know, you can say I've made my peace with God by doing ABC or XYZ or 1, 2, 3 or one of these things. No. You're going to have to be righteous, first of all, to make peace with God. I can tell you that. You're going to have to be righteous to be at peace with God. And so we couldn't. There's no possible way that we could make peace with God on our own. One's going to have to make peace for us. And the Lord Jesus Christ, by his willful obedience and suffering for his people at Calvary, made peace. Now listen to Colossians 1:19-22. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alien and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. So, what has happened? Well, God was offended. God is offended. God is just. And the scripture declares that there's one appointed of God to be the author of reconciliation. Romans 3 says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation, a peacemaker, through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. So, the one who was offended, the Father, eternally purposed and initiated the reconciliation of his people. The one offended was the one who initiated the reconciliation. The Lord Jesus Christ coming into this world and being the advocate, the propitiation, did not make the Father love his people. He eternally loved us. He sent him because he loved us. Because he would not let us perish. Christ, being the establisher of peace for our sins, satisfied every demand of justice and wrath for his people. And therefore, God Almighty can justly forgive us for our sins. You know, I just always thought that just God just forgave people and he just swept it under the rug, you know. Well, they just didn't mean it, you know. No. Remember, he's a just God and a Savior. And for God Almighty to be a Savior, his justice is going to have to be satisfied. And it's going to have to be satisfied in the advocate. So, he's the propitiation for our sins. And then John says, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now, here's a scripture that's been greatly abused. Somebody would say, now, there's right there. That just ends it right there. That means that the Lord Jesus Christ died for everybody's sins. Everybody's sins in the whole world. Well, I'm going to just ask you a couple of questions, then I'm going to get back on my notes. Here's a question for me. If the Lord Jesus Christ died for the sins of the whole world, everybody without question, without, you know, no distinction, everybody's sins are paid for. Everybody's sins have been paid for. Does that mean that everybody is then guiltless before God? Well, let me answer something for you. If the Lord Jesus Christ died for everybody's sins and paid the debt of everybody's sins, then that means that nobody has any guilt before God. If he paid the debt, you say, well, but wait a minute, no. He paid the debt for everybody's sins, the sins of the whole world. But you have to, I said, hold on. Now, if you're getting ready to tell me something that you've got to do in order to make this effectual, then you're getting ready to tell me that salvation is by your works. So whatever you're getting ready to say, you better think it through. Because if the Lord has done everything that he can do by paying for everybody's sins, and you now have to do something, then salvation is by whatever you do. He wants to save you, but it's up to you. And salvation is not by works of righteousness. So let's just make sure we understand what's being said here. If he paid for the sins of the whole world without any reservation, and it's left up to man, then salvation is by man's works. It's by his decision or his baptism or his walking down the aisle or speaking in tongues or something. By something. Because that's what you're getting ready to say, and you know that's not right. So we got almost, you know, have like a Mexican standoff here. You know, is it by grace or is it by works? Now, it can't be by both. Because faith and works don't mix. So, but we do know this. He died, the scripture says, and he's the propitiation, not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So, what does he mean? Let's back it up with scripture. Let's find out, what does God have? What does this teach? Alright, the scripture says, Revelation 1:5, and from Jesus Christ, this is John on the Isle of Patmos, and he heard a voice behind him, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, of the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Now, here's what I got a question for you. It says, who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Who are the us's? Who are the us's? Well, according to the word of the Lord, it can only be the sheep. How do you know that? Well, John 10:15, of which I quote so often, the Lord said, I lay down my life for the sheep. I lay down my life for the sheep. Is there a distinction between sheep and goats? Yes. The Lord made that distinction when some Pharisees in the same chapter asked him, why don't you be plain with us? And he said, I'm not going to quote that. I'm going to show you. Turn to John 10. John 10. I quote that all the time, and it do us good. John 10, look at John 10:15. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Now that's a given. Is that a given? I lay down my life for the sheep. Well, can somebody become a sheep that's not a goat? Well, let's see what the Lord says. It says, verse 23 of John 10, and Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Now, here's what the Lord just told them. He said, the reason you don't believe me is because you're not my sheep. You're not of my sheep. You're not of them. You're not of that group. That's the wording of Scripture. He said, I told you, you believe not. But you believe not, verse 26, because you're not of my sheep. You're not within the group. Now, here's what I want to know. When Christ died and washed away the sins of his people, us, who are the us? Well, the Lord said, it's the sheep. Did he die for anyone other than the sheep? No. How do you know that? Because the Lord said that. Can someone that is not a sheep become a sheep? No. They were not of. You're not of my sheep. The Father gave him the sheep from before the foundation of the world. They were chosen in Christ. And the Lord said, I lay down my life for them. So, concerning the sheep that he laid down his life for. John 1:7 says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. When he shed his blood at Calvary, now you listen, I'm basing this on this word right here. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us. When he shed his blood at Calvary, let me tell you what was done It was finished. It was finished. The blood of Jesus Christ cleansed His people from their sins. It was paid. Now, I will tell you this. In time, He's going to open your eyes and tell you about it. And He's going to show you that He's forgiven you. And that His blood cleansed you from all sin. How much debt does any of God's sheep owe before the law of God? None. How do you know that? Because Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which be in Christ Jesus. What if one of the sheep's not been born yet? Are they in Christ Jesus? Were they chosen before the foundation of the world? Then how much condemnation are they under? None. None. The sheep's debt has truly been paid. Atonement, that is, satisfaction for a wrong, has been made, and that sinner is pardoned and justified. He is cleared of any charge by God's law, and therefore they shall, and technically are, glorified. All for whom Christ was a propitiation. He's an advocate. He prays. He ever liveth. Listen to John 17:9. He was talking to... Here, again, turn to John 17:9. John 17:9. The Lord is His high priestly prayer. And look at verse 2. As Thou hast given Him, He's praying, Father, as Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to who? To as many as Thou hast given Him. Who is going to be a possessor of eternal life based on God's Word? And here again, I don't care what anybody else has got to say. Let God be true and let every man be a liar. Thou hast given Him power over all flesh that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. Look at verse 6. I've manifested Thy name to who? Unto the men which Thou gavest Me out of the world. You mean there's somebody out of this world that the Lord has given and manifested the name of the Father to? Yes. Thine they were, He said, and Thou gavest them Me, and they've kept Thy word. What have they done? They believed on Me. They believed on Me. Look at verse 9. I pray for them. I pray not for the world. Isn't it amazing that someone could say that Christ died for the sins of the whole world and He won't even pray for them? I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which Thou hast given Me, for they are Thine. So the whole world, when it says back in 1 John 1, whenever it says that He is the advocate, let's see how He said it here. He is the propitiation, for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. The whole world doesn't refer to every individual without distinction, because Almighty God doesn't pray for them. The Scripture says that He's not the ones for whom they died. He died. Who did He die for? He died for His elect. In closing, I've got four things I want to say real fast. It won't take but just a minute. Where are they? Where are they? Well, God's Word reveals that they're scattered everywhere. 1 Peter 1:1-2, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ to the strangers, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. So where are they? They're everywhere. That's why we go into all the world and preach the gospel. God's going to call them out. Secondly, what has Christ done for them? Revelation 5:9-10 says, they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Thirdly, what shall be their end? What are we all going to? John 17:24-26. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known thee, but I've known thee. And these have known that thou hast sent me, and I have declared unto them thy name, and shall declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. And lastly, how shall all those for whom Christ died and for whom He's the advocate, how are they going to be known? What is the telltale sign? How do I know? Is there any comfort that I can have? Can you give me any kind of comfort to know whether or not I'm one of His? That I'm one for whom He prays. Is there anything you can tell me? Yes, there is. John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son. Now let me tell you what I've done here. I just got that much left right there. He that believeth on the Son. Now, I looked up this word believeth. It does not mean one that believes that there is a Son. The devils believe that. Everybody and their brother, if you ask them, you believe that there is a Jesus Christ? Yes, I do. I believe that there's a George Washington, too. An unbeliever has no more grounds to believe that there is a Jesus Christ than that there was an Abraham Lincoln, too. He just heard it. I said, well, I believe it. No. What does this word believeth mean? He that believeth on the Son, all right, that entrusts his spiritual well-being to. That's what the word believeth means. That entrusts his spiritual well-being. He that believeth, he that entrusts his spiritual well-being on the Son. Not in my works or not in my faith. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son, he that does not entrust his spiritual well-being to Christ, he that does not believe that God's eternal will and purpose was to show mercy and compassion to whomsoever He would. God said that. That's what Moses said, show me your glory. The Lord said, I'm going to cause all my goodness to pass before you, and I'm going to show mercy and compassion on whomsoever I will. He that believeth not the Son, he that believeth that there's something that he can do to please God. He doesn't believe on the Son, he believes in himself, is what he's saying. Hath not life. Shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth on him. Brethren, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. And though we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, pleading His merit for us. Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the peacemaker. He's the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of everyone, the whole world. Jew, Gentile, black, white, yellow, male, female, bond, free, everybody that he died for, that he prays for, that the Father given him, all shall come to me. And he said, him that he that cometh to me comes to him for life. I'm no wise cast out. May the Lord bless the words of our hearts for Christ's sake. Amen.